Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast, episode 252, part one, Fear. Today is really Saturday, July 21st, 2012. Here's a message from Pastor Paul.
Hi, folks. It's with a great heartfelt difficulty that I have to say goodbye to serving thousands of you wonderful people. But you know, the cost of operating such a large food ministry for the last 30 years just isn't possible alone. The handling costs, the high rate of insurance for the building, the trucks, the equipment is just too much. Paying staff and so on. However, we are very hopeful for a new plan to help all of you great people, and it's underway as I speak. So we ask you to stay in touch. It's new, it's bold, and it shows much promise. So I said goodbye for now, but really, hello to the future, a greater future, a future of communicating with each other, sharing and caring for each other's common good. And you know, the key words here are to stay in touch, stay focused, think as a group, encourage one another in the Lord. It's a group action. In bargaining power, by bringing purchasing power to businesses for a good price, by listing things you don't want that someone else might want. So the key word here, folks, is what? Information from A to Z. So I'm saying goodbye for today and keep posted for tomorrow. For information to one another is power to the people. We have over 18,000 families signed up here. And we're reaching people all over the United States. So I'd ask you, if you feel that our ministry is doing good, make a small donation towards us, or large, whatever. Thank you and goodbye for now. Stay posted. God bless.
Today's topic is fear. Let me start from the very top. God. Fear God. Fear God, and then we have production. Psalm 46 and 1 goes like this. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Not our armies, not our bickering, not our cleverness. God is our refuge and our strength, a very present help in trouble. Nothing else can help you when you're in trouble. You might gain some kind of a temporary relief, but God will always take you back to that point, that gnawing on the inside, until you turn to God for your final help. I'm talking about God as a far better help, because we make ourselves strong in God alone. Let's forget not this strong possessive word here, our, better yet, our help. Better yet, our present help. He has been tried and proven over and over and over again. Notice again, our very present help, quicker, more reliable than a friend or a relative can ever be. More nearly present than even the trouble itself before it comes. Now that's pretty present, isn't it? We're all going to have to go back to that present help if we leave it for something else. God is not the author of confusion. Oh yes, he can use people and he can use relatives and so on like that, but we must first go to the Lord, and God directs it. Verse 2, therefore, I love that. Oh, I love that therefore. so conclusive. Therefore will not we fear. How irrational to fear with God on our side. And yet, we do, don't we? Fear is always going to be there. But we have that tool. We have faith, and faith in God. Then it goes on. Though the earth be removed, meaning though it be so bad that everything is removed, change, you don't even recognize things. Your earth is removed, your ground, your family, your friends, business acquaintances, church folks, though your personal earth, be removed. So you do, well, this isn't the same place I used to be. What's going on? Though the earth be removed, though it be so bad everything is removed, change, unrecognizable, I said. And that's the way it's going to be in the end. You're not going to recognize people because they're not going to be the same people. You're not going to recognize governments because they're not going to be the same government. They're not going to be as stable. You're not going to recognize people. And even the weak, they'll look a lot stronger because God is going to raise up the low, weak, perverted things of the world to confound the wise. And so our whole earth, our individual, our personal earth, is going to change the neighborhood. The kids aren't the same as they used to be. The friends that were there are there no more. Then it goes on, and the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea. The very firmest things you trusted in be carried away, those mountains of faith, those mountains of things. Ruined. Well, I never thought this would happen to me. People laid off all over, farmers all over our country. Who would ever think that after 100 years of owning this property, that this mountain, that this earth that we stood on for 100 years would be removed? Who would have ever thought that all these plants and all these banks and all these things would ever have failed? These loan companies and these profiteers. Now you go to the bank and you don't even recognize. They're different. The banks are different now. And the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea. Those things, I said, that you thought were mountains. Prudential mountains. I'm not picking out any particular company, but it just happened to fit in. And allies and countries be removed and placed into the midst of the sea. And you'll cry out, oh God, what's going on? What's happening to this old world? Seems like everything is ruined. I mean that your faith is tested far beyond any sight. And still God says, trust. Heavens and earth shall pass away. And God is still God, isn't he? A present, says, a very present help in the time of trouble. And that's what we're coming to. that earth that we knew before, those mountains that we knew before, those things that we said will never change, they've changed. You don't even recognize them anymore. Verse 3, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled. When all things, it's saying, are excited and in a fury, and they reveal terrible power to disturb you. When people go zappo, nuts. People that were sane before go crazy, and you see all sorts of crazy things happening right now. What's going on? We have left the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. That real mountain is the Lord. That's that high city. That's that holy city that the Bible says is coming down, the New Jerusalem. But when all things I said are excited and in a fury, and they reveal some kind of a terrible power, a roaring, don't pay any attention to it at all. Let it roar. Let it come and let it come on strong, because the Bible said faith smiles serenely. She is not afraid of noise. Like those ants that we were talking about Friday night in the little glass case, and they go on with their work, and you can stick your tongue out and you can da-da-da-da-da-da, and they go right on working. You can take that and throw it across the floor, and you go over and look, and they're still building. You can go step on their hill, and they'll just bypass the dead and go on and pull them out of the way and go on with their work. They're not all shook up. But faith smiles serenely. She is not afraid of noise. She is not afraid of threats. Then it goes on, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof. You see, God's holy mountain is calm. Evil may ferment, wrath may boil, and pride may foam. Says in the end, great men's hearts will fail in the time of calamity. Oh, there's a Humpty Dumpty world, and it's getting ready for a great fall, and all the king's horses and all the king's men won't be able to put that Humpty Dumpty world together again. Yes. Says that men's hearts will fail, but the ones with faith in God shall not be moved. Where is our faith? Well, you're trying to act like you have no fear yourself. Well, we all come on with fear. But we also have a faith that overcomes all those mountainous situations and rumblings and roarings and so on. And so we just go on like a river. It says, we shall not be moved. Bible says we should rejoice in trials. Oh, stop it. Hey, well, I have to tell you that because they're here. It's reality. You're seeing it every day. Better to rejoice in the trial than to fall down in the trial. Than to not believe God in the trial. What else can you do? Is there something else that you can do? Go to a relative. They don't care. They got their own worries. Oh, they'll help you. Bible get you 10. Don't come back again. I'm talking about we're in an internal trouble. A terrible dilemma. And that we should praise God in it. Because God's holy and calm mountain will not be moved. Go on with what you're doing. Don't be dismayed at their faces, neither their voices. In Ezekiel, it says in 3. Go on with your life. Go on. Go on past all the roaring and all the nutsy things that you're seeing right now. Maybe you'll even look nuts. Well, takes one to know one. Are you hearing this? I want them to hear it too. We have a God that will never leave us and never forsake us. Never. Doesn't depend on how good you are either. Jesus said, there is no one good, no, not none but the Father. Our dependency is on God. Yes, fear, talking about today. Fear the most wasting, most tormenting, most torturing, most destroying power known to the human family. Fear of losing something. Fear of losing a mate, a girlfriend, a boyfriend. Fear! Oh, and boy, can that play tricks on your mind. Everybody and everything is a threat. Until you make yourself miserable and everyone around you, fear. But our world right now is in the very grip of fear. Why do you think Gaddafi acts like he does? He's fearing. Why do you think the United States and Russia and China, why do you think we all act like that? Out of fear. Not certainly out of faith. Not certainly out of a faith in God. But nothing has plowed such furrows, cut such swaths, or wrought such havoc as fear. I think it is a very sorrow of man and the ruination of life to wake up and have that terrible gut-pulling fear every day. Don't put up with it. Don't get into taking some kind of pills to get out of it. God help those that do have to do that. Something to settle my stomach. Something to settle my nerve. Just one drink. It gets worse and worse and worse. Oh, I feel so much better after a marijuana. Yeah, well, it'll pickle your brain in the end, too. And destroy you in the end. That's what fear does to us, don't you know? Oh, they find that there's nothing wrong, I heard 10 years ago, with marijuana. I said there is definitely something wrong with it. It's a mind bender. Now they're finding out that it's a terrible thing, and they cover it up, but it's a terrible thing, and nevertheless, it's terrible. Why do people do that? They have fears. Well, we need to turn to God and say, God, help me through this time. I'm having a terrible time. Well, you'll have a terrible time until you go to God. Because that fear is wrong believing, isn't it? It's believing. But it's wrong believing. See, you really believe in fear while you're a real believer. It's believing there is no help from God. Now I hear the positive preaching people say, well, now you're finally getting on. No, I'm talking about believing in God in a time of trouble. Even though it goes on and on and on and on and on and on and on. It's believing that we have no higher power. That we can't have the victory over our uncertainties, over our, better word, perplexities, a no-way-out situation. Then leaves us in the dark, sort of groping our way blindly through an unending maze of situations too hard for us. Oh my God, there's no way out. Oh yes, there is. God makes a way where there seemeth to be no way. There is a way. How many are hearing this message? God makes a way where there seemeth to be no way. Please. But what next, we cry, you listening on the radio. What's going to happen next? My whole world is falling apart. Well, that's exactly what it's been doing for centuries. And so fear puts us beyond God's help, his reach, and makes him very inadequate for our pressing needs. It blinds people. It makes them sick. Did you ever get sick from fear? How many have you ever got really sick? Just physically ill? Ever happened to you? I mean, physically, God, I'm sick. I don't know what I'm going to do. I am so sick. Well, that's where people are in the mental wards. They're sick, and it's called the spirit of fear. And then some psych gets a hold of them and tries to explain why they have that. And he's usually on several pills himself. He's a real pill. Well, a pusher is somebody that takes pills. He knows the product. Not all, but a lot of times that's very, very true. But it makes them so they can't sleep. They lose their appetite. They can't face people. I cannot face one more person. And so they take different routes home. They don't want to see anybody. They close themselves away from people, and they get off someplace in their room and stare at the wall, and they have that terrible gut fear. Of course, none of you know what I'm talking about in here, do you? You on the radio, you don't know a thing about what I'm... We all have that in some degree. Some are better actors than others. Little kids, when they first go to school, they have terrible fear. What's going to happen to me? Well, I wish my name didn't start with an A. They're going to call the A's first. I wish my name was Zarnopoulos, so I didn't have to get up and give that speech, the number one. I wish I wasn't even in the alphabet. Why was I ever born? Kids have those kinds of things. Causes mental breakdowns and heart attacks and digestive upsets. People take this Maalox and what are these other junk they take? They coat their stomach with all that stuff. You take a picture of the inside, look like a great big barn in there. Big old dairy barn. And then because there is very, very little help from friends and none from your enemies, of course not. The wrong believing of fear leaves us so frustrated and fighting a losing battle with terrible inner conflicts that we can't explain. And we're in such a tizzy, we can't explain them anyway because our thinking isn't right. And it goes from bad to worse. Worse to terrible, and terrible to wish I was dead. Sometimes they do that to themselves. Jump off the bridge, run in front of a bus. Now, I'm not saying there isn't a good kind of fear. I'd hate to go up in an airplane with someone that said, well, watch this now, and they go diving towards the ground. Say, chicken, I didn't hear you. Huh? Louder. Chicken, I can't hear you. Huh? Well, there's a good kind of fear, and that's why there is such a thing as fear. Fear God. See, because the human being, after all, is a psychic, His flesh is governed by his spirit. And so we are what our believing is. What do you believe you are today? You're on the radio. What do you believe that you are today? Well, I believe I'm a nice guy. I believe this and I believe that. Well, that's what you are then. Guy told me last week, he says, oh, I'm so dumb, I can't do this, I can't do that. And I said, well, that's exactly what you are then. A dummy. Is that what you believe about yourself? You'll have plenty of help from your friends. Say, yeah, you're right, you are a dummy. Well, is that what you believe you are? And people will help you out. They will give you a name. Maybe you're a whore and you're listening to me today. And they call you a whore. And you say, well, I am a whore. Well, that's what you are then. Maybe you're a drunk. And they say, that guy's just a wino, a drunk. Well, then that's what you are. Oh, I'm so nervous. I'm so upset. I don't know. I'm afraid. I'm this. Well, sure, then that's what you are. Not that you won't ever have any kind of fear. I'm not trying to get that across that way. And so we are what our believing is, more or less. We are right believing or we are wrong believing. And I think we as people are careful to weed out our gardens, but that we seldom cut away our thinking and believing, whether it is in harmony with God or out of harmony with God. And so man is more frequently, I believe, molded by wrong believing than by right believing. It molds you. And you go to the paper and you look for a job. No, I can't handle that. And you go right over to some job. Well, there's some jobs that's truthful that you can only handle. That's all you've ever done. But I mean, there are people that I know of that can handle, you know, greater jobs. They go right over to floor sweeper or something like that because I can't handle that. I know I wouldn't be able to. And then they might, oh, God. What would I do if they seen, well, this guy has possibilities, and he moved me up in the job. I don't want to move up. I just want to be, you know, pick the dirt out of cracks. It's true, isn't it? And what causes people to be like that? Fear. Terrible fear. They're afraid of what they look like. Oh, gee, I don't know. I'm such a dud. I look so terrible. No matter what I put on my back, I'm just so ugly. Just hate myself. Well, is that what you believe? Well, you're going to have everybody hating you. Hello, Lardo. Don't you want? You see somebody that goes ahead and they got this beautiful aura about them, and they're just a beautiful person. You don't even notice those things. You don't notice that they're walking around with a nose as long as Pinocchio pretty soon. You don't notice the way they comb their hair, or if they have hair, praise God. You don't notice those things because the person doesn't think about them, doesn't believe that way. It doesn't walk in. I know they're looking at my hair. That isn't there. I know they're looking at my body, and people suffer with that. They try to look. You ever try to look thin when you weigh 300 pounds? I don't care how much you walk on your toes or pirouette around the room. It isn't going to look like that. But see, fear just takes people outside of any kind of recognition, even for themselves. I'm nothing. I'm a low life. And people will help you! Oh, my God, there's a thousand of them that will help you. And most times they're sick themselves. And so man, I said, is more frequently molded by wrong believing than right believing. And why is that? Because self is the center. There can be no faith walk without the cross. You out there, take your inferiorities, take your rebellion, Take your whole miserable self and take it to the cross, and there you die. Lay down right there. Die. Nail it to the cross. Because without the cross and without dying to self, we will always have terrible fear. Because you've got something to worry about. You've got yourself. Oh, would be to God, the people that I know right now that want to be center stage and are so fearful about what people think. It's ruined so many people. Who cares? What a way to live your life. You got to give your life to gain your life. You got to be an individual member in the body of Christ versus being a personality. An individual. Someone that stands up and stands on and goes on in God. Not something in the rough, a personality. God has to shape and mold and make that a living stone, fitly joined together. An individual stone. Oh, what a way to live, right? You in the center. You know how hard it is to be the center all the time? Always a bigger gun comes into town. Ringo. Always someone lopes into town and takes over that center. Hey, don't worry about it. Because fear, after all, is only a false philosophy. See, we have plans for our lives, and if the plans don't work out the way we want them to, well, what's the use? It didn't work out. I was going to Hollywood and be a big star, and they told me that there's a whole lot of pretty people out here and get lost. Wonder how many people have gone to Hollywood. Hollywood. Da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Hollywood, huh? What for? Well, I guess there's nothing else I can do. I'll just lay down, give up. Because man's emphasis, after all, is on his own plans and his own efforts. And the faith of God is left entirely out. See, faith of God comes through and only comes through the cross. That's how you get it. You die to yourself. Bear a cross, to wear a crown. That's what that means. If you don't bear the cross, isn't there a song, you cannot wear the crown? If you don't die to yourself and live unto Christ, if you don't give your life, you can't gain your life. Because without God, after all, we all find it out over and over and over again. Without God, we'll end up in failure and frustration and inner conflicts. Always frustrated. Oh, I'll just try it one more time. You're just going to end up frustrated. See, we all have faith. The trouble is we just don't use it. Faith is so strong and so powerful. I mean, it's a great fighter. But we put it in the corner. It's a great deliverer, it's a great conqueror, more than a conqueror, through Christ. Because faith is strong, because, of course, God is strong. This is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Even our faith, get that phrase there. Our faith, our wrong believing he has to overcome. We all have been given a measure of faith the day that you were born. The day of conception, we were fighting and getting together and trying to make it work in there. Our fearful faith, our frustrated faith, our defeated faith, we all born, I said, with a measure of faith. So that we can walk and breathe and talk and see and eat, navigate and associate, so that we can work and we can hear. The trouble is, we must turn in our measure for the treasure. No planting, no investment, no return. You have to take that measure of faith. God gives you that too. You can't take credit for any kind of salvation. God gives you a measure of faith, and you take that measure that he gives you, and you open up your mouth and you confess with it. And he's already put the word in your mouth and in your heart, the word we preach. But if you confess your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is Lord, that will be saved. He's already put it in there. All you have to do is invest it. Turn on the radio and there's a thing on there that says, we made this city. Yes, we made this city. We made this city with rock and roll. Huh? And I thought, well, we live in a city that was founded on a rock, but you got to get on the roll to get in there. Our city is not made on rock and roll. It's a city of faith. But if we don't plant that seed, that mustard seed of faith, if we don't invest it in the kingdom of God, well, oh, gee, I don't know if I should plant it over there. Ooh, stormy weather. Don't know. Clouds. Can't plant. There's clouds today. There's a message on that. Can't plant. There's rain. The sun's too hot. It'll scorch the seed. Oh, the ground is too hard. So you wait for a perfect time to plant your seed. A perfect time. No, there is a perfect. Now is the time. Right now, while you're sitting here, you don't have to face fear by yourself anymore. The fear of looking just right. No, we want to look just right. I mean, we know what we should look like, right? Someone says, gee, you look nice today. Those fears, you don't have to have those fears anymore. Oh, they'll come back to you. They'll try to get in again. That's why you have faith in God. They'll try to destroy you. They'll try to defeat you. Maybe you'll go on and on and on, days and days and weeks, and not sell anything. The world even has more faith than we do sometimes. Every dog has its day. Right? Well, they do, don't they? Huh? 1 John 5 and 4 says, this is the victory that overcometh the world. Who did that? Jesus did. Even our faith. He overcame your faith. Your troubled faith, your wrong believing, your much alive Adam, your fearful faith, your frustrated faith, your defeated faith, your He even overcame our faith. Because it says he is the author of our faith and the finisher of our faith.
There you have it. That was episode 252, part 1, Fear. Be sure to listen to Pastor Paul's conclusion on Sunday. Have a great weekend. God bless you.